I'm so glad you kept me from barreling ahead. That's one of my favorites. We sing at camp meeting. Oh, how I love Jesus. Welcome. This is the day that the Lord has made. Let us rejoice and be glad in it. I am thrilled and honored to be with you this morning in the house of God to worship. And I want to say a word of welcome to each and every one of you. It's just a privilege to be together. I have a few announcements as we gather today, a couple of opportunities for worship and fellowship in the days ahead. This afternoon at 4 o'clock, Andrew Reisinger is going to be offering a concert on the organ, which will be live streamed through Facebook and through our website. And it is a special day because we're also celebrating Andrew's 25th anniversary of being part of our congregation here at West End. And I told him we get at least 25 more, so that's all I'm saying. So be sure and greet Andrew and find a way to express your love and thanks for him and all of the gifts that he brings to us each and every Sunday. But that concert will be at 4 o'clock online. And then at 5 o'clock, our youth are actually gathering on site this afternoon. We'll be playing some games outside, and then we'll be coming inside for small groups, be able to spread out, and everybody will be masked and keeping social distance. But this will be one of the first opportunities they've had to see each other in person, so we want to celebrate that with them. October 16th, we're having a church movie night out in the parking lot, and we're excited to be showing the movie Coco, and we'll ask if you're interested in coming to RSVP, and you can do that through the website, westendumc.org/movie. And then on October 25th, the preschool is once again hosting a trunk or treat. It will be a little different this year. It's going to be from 4 to 6, and it will be a drive-through trunk or treat. They're not asking for any volunteers or any church members to provide trunks, but just to let you know that you have, if you have little ones that you want to participate, that that will be a drive-through event, and we'll be following all the right protocols for that. This morning, we are continuing our journey through Matthew's gospel as we come into one of Jesus' parables that involves banquets and feasting, and also a few difficult things to understand, which is somehow Jesus' way of stretching us. So let us open ourselves to the parable of Jesus, to the Spirit of Christ that is among us as we worship together.
Table.
And invites all people together.
We give thanks for the gifts of God.
For the abundance they have for us.
Let us worship the God who calls us to come and eat.
And let us join in the celebration of grace.
Let us come now before God with our confessions, believing that all we hold are seen and held within God's unconditional love for us. God of infinite forgiveness, we ask you to forgive those many times when we have turned our backs on you by turning away from the needs of the voiceless, the hopeless, the helpless. We ignore your invitation to love and serve the world. We allow ourselves to be distracted by schedules and activities that drain us of energy and enthusiasm. Light a fire under us, O God, that we may again feel the exciting challenge of being your people. Heal our wounds of indifference and apathy. Bring us together in harmony and joy to serve you and your creation with peace, justice, and hope. Amen. Hear the good news. Christ died for us while we were yet sinners, and that proves God's love toward us. In the name of Jesus Christ, you are forgiven.
In the name of Jesus Christ, you are forgiven.
Glory to God. Amen. As a forgiven and reconciled people, let us exchange signs of reconciliation and love. The peace of Christ be with you.
Let us pray together the prayer for illumination. Lord, open our hearts and minds by the power of your Holy Spirit, that as the scriptures are read and the word proclaimed, we may hear with joy what you say to us today. Amen. A lesson from the Gospel according to Matthew, chapter 22. Once more, Jesus spoke to them in parables, saying, "The kingdom of heaven may be compared to a king who gave a wedding banquet for his son. He sent his slaves to call those who had been invited to the wedding banquet, but they would not come. Again, he sent other slaves, saying, 'Tell those who have been invited, look, I have prepared my dinner. My oxen and fat calves have been slaughtered, and everything is ready. Come to the wedding banquet.' But they made light of it and went away, one to his farm, another to his business, while the rest seized the slaves, mistreated them, and killed them. The king was enraged. He sent his troops, destroyed those murderers, and burned their city. Then he said to his slaves, 'The wedding is ready, but those invited were not worthy. Go therefore into the main streets and invite everyone you find to the wedding banquet.' Those slaves went out into the streets and gathered all whom they found, both good and bad, so the wedding hall was filled with guests. But when the king came in to see the guests, he noticed a man there who was not wearing a wedding robe, and he said to him, 'Friend, how did you get in here without a wedding robe?' And he was speechless. Then the king said to his attendants, 'Bind him hand and foot and throw him into the outer darkness, where there will be weeping and gnashing of teeth. For many are called, but few are chosen.'" The word of God for the people of God.
I want to share a special moment with the children who are here. You can just stay in your seats where you are and help me think about this story that Jesus has told. It made me imagine what it might be like if I had a birthday party. I'm sure some of you have had a birthday party before. Even grown-ups have birthday parties, right? So let's imagine that you invite all your friends and they come to your birthday party. And one of the things you're really excited about is these special hats you've made. You've made a hat for everyone coming to your birthday party. And so as they come in, you give them the hat and say, please wear the hat. We're going to use it later in a game. So here's my hat. I know it looks like a coffee filter, but it's a birthday hat. Because this is what I could find in the resource room upstairs this morning. But let's imagine there's one friend who comes to the party who says, nope, I'm not going to wear that hat. Wouldn't that kind of hurt your feelings? Especially if you want them to participate in the game that you're going to play later with the hat. There's something in this story that Jesus told that reminds me of that. There was someone who was invited to a great party, but he didn't wear what he was supposed to wear. And it kind of hurt the feelings of the host. And if you'll listen with what I share with the adults in a few minutes, that makes me think about God. That God wants everybody to come to the party. God wants everybody to be loved and everybody to be part of the church. But we also have to do our part and do what we can to act like God wants us to act, to be loving and kind and forgiving, and to do our part to participate in God's party. So I love the fact that Jesus says that life with God is like a party, and I hope we never forget that. I also hope you can find better birthday hats when you have a birthday party. It is fun to find ourselves at another party in the Gospels. It seems that as we go through the Gospels, we get the impression that Jesus really liked a good party. His very first miracle in the Gospel of John is at a wedding feast. When the host has run out of wine, Jesus turns water into wine and keeps the party going. We see him again and again throughout the gospel, sitting at a banquet table, eating with people and breaking bread with people. In fact, early in his ministry, there were those who grumbled and gossiped about him, saying he eats and drinks with sinners. He shares dinner parties with Pharisees, with tax collectors, people like Zacchaeus, Martha and Mary in their home, a meal hosted by a woman. Jesus is always, it seems, sitting at a banquet table. And again, he uses this image of a feast, a party, a banquet to describe the kingdom of heaven. And that's what we find ourselves in this morning, is yet another parable where Jesus compares the kingdom of God to a banquet. Now, this particular parable appears in Matthew's gospel and in Luke's gospel. And I have to be honest, I kind of wish we were looking at Luke's version this morning because it's a lot easier to take and to understand. In Luke's version, the host invites all these people to a wedding feast. Most of them refuse the invitation because they're too busy. I got a new farm. I just got married. I have a new business. And so he says, well, just go out into the streets and invite everybody you can find. And then they bring in the poor, the lame, the lonely, the lost, the sick. And they celebrate and have a great party. The end. Isn't that wonderful? I love that story. And that's one I want to preach all day long. But Matthew's version is a little bit darker. In the first part of the story, which I won't be spending too much time with today, when the king sends out the invitations, the people refuse to come. Some of them because they've got a farm, they've got a business. But some of them take the servants of the king and kill them. Suddenly there's violence in this parable. And the king is enraged and he sends his troops out and burns their city to the ground. Wow. When it comes to passages like this in scripture where there's violence and it's hard to understand, I think one of the things that's important to remember is that in these parables of Jesus, he's not necessarily saying God is like a king who. But the kingdom of God is like a wedding banquet. There's something in this parable that points to who God is, but not everything that the king does or that any particular character does is what God would necessarily do. And at the same time, to be aware there were things going on in Matthew's world and in the world surrounding the church he was writing to that might have led to this kind of portrayal in the parable. And if you want to dig deeper on that, come to Bible study on Tuesday morning. Or do some of your own reading, because it's hard to struggle with these kinds of images. But the part of the parable that I want to focus on this morning is the other part that's only in Matthew's version and is equally as troubling. The party has started. The wedding hall is full of guests celebrating, eating and drinking and dancing. And the king is making his way around the wedding hall when he sees a man who's not wearing a wedding robe. And when the king confronts him, "Why aren't you wearing a wedding robe?" The man's just like, he has no response, no excuse. And he gets kicked out, cast out into outer darkness where there's weeping and gnashing of teeth. We get that a lot in Matthew's gospel also. But it's hard to understand the king's behavior here. It seems unfair, doesn't it? That someone who was just brought in off the street, who didn't really know he was invited until 5 minutes ago, is now being thrown out because he's not dressed right. Is the king so out of touch with the people that he just assumes everybody has a tuxedo in their closet? Or is there maybe something else going on? Well, in my understanding, in my research and learning about wedding traditions in Jesus' day, I came across this piece of information that said when a person came to a wedding, the host would often provide a robe for them if they didn't have one of their own. It's kind of like I remember when I was traveling in Europe many years ago, there were certain churches and cathedrals that we wanted to visit, but you couldn't go in if you were wearing shorts. You had to have long pants or a skirt on. And one day, we changed our plans, and we were in this town we hadn't planned to be in, and we wanted to visit this cathedral, and we were wearing shorts. And the person said, "Well, we've got some wraps that you can borrow if you want to take a tour of the church. We'll provide it for you. We just do this because we want everybody to respect our way of doing things. This is how we want things to be on this site. But we'll give you what you need." Or someone in Bible study suggested it's like some of those restaurants or dinner clubs where men are required to wear a sport coat or a suit jacket. They always have a closet full. So if you show up and you don't have one, they'll give you one. It's kind of the same thing that's happening in this parable. This guest has shown up for the wedding, and it seems, if this is the case, that he wants to eat the banquet, he wants to dance the jig, he wants to be celebrating at the wedding, but for whatever reason, he didn't want to wear the robe that the host offered. He wants to come to the party, but he doesn't want to have to change. Let me say that again. He wants to come to the party, but he doesn't want to have to change. And I think Matthew is offering this part of Jesus' parable to the church as a challenge to the church, as a reminder that everybody's invited. God wants a full banquet hall, and the kingdom of God that is offered to us through Jesus Christ is a big celebration and party to which everyone is invited. And that's not the end of the story. We accept God's invitation, and then we take on the robe, the identity of Christ. We do what we can do to grow into the likeness of Christ. And that can be really hard work, to be challenged and stretched and held accountable in our faith. I don't know about you, but over the past few months, as we've navigated this time of pandemic and struggled with the deepening awareness of racial injustice in our society, I've heard from some folks, and I felt it myself, you know, I want to come to church and just be comforted and just feel loved And that is absolutely true. I think each and every Sunday, I want to be reminded, and I want to help remind you that you are beloved by God, that you are welcome just as you are. God loves everyone unconditionally. And yet, if we went to church every Sunday, if we read the scriptures every day, if we said our prayers and nothing ever challenged us or stretched us or made us say ouch or made us rethink some things or change our minds about things, I'm not sure we would be growing into the likeness of Christ. We have to work to put on that robe and grow into it. And it's not always easy, and it's not always comforting. But it is life in the kingdom of God. Because as we put on this robe of Christ, it means we are shedding all of those other parts of us that are not of God. We commit to become citizens of the kingdom of God, guests at God's party, and so we set aside all other labels that the world might put on us or that we might want to put on ourselves. This image of the wedding robe, this image of the robe as the likeness of Christ that we grow into, is repeated again and again throughout the scriptures. And I think the Apostle Paul actually said it the best in his letter to the Colossians. These early Christians, when they were baptized, would come out of the waters of baptism and literally be given a white robe as a symbol of putting on Christ from this day forward. And so Paul is writing to the Colossians to remind them that this is who they're called to be. And he says, as God's chosen ones, holy and beloved, clothe yourselves with this wedding robe, compassion, kindness, humility, meekness, and patience. Bear with one another. And if anyone has a complaint against another, forgive each other. Just as the Lord has forgiven you, so you also must forgive. Above all, clothe yourselves with love, which binds everything together in perfect harmony. I'm still growing into my robe. I've got a lot of growing left to do. But I'm grateful that we're all in this together and that we can help each other grow into the likeness of Christ. And I'm really grateful that the host of this banquet will never give up on me or on us because the robe belongs to him.
One of the ways that we respond to the reading and proclaiming of the word is by professing our faith together. So if you will stand in body or spirit and turn to page 883 in your hymnal, we will proclaim the faith statement of the United Church of Canada. We are not alone. We live in God's world. We believe in God, who has created and is creating, who has come in Jesus, the Word made flesh, to reconcile and make new, who works in us and others by the Spirit. We trust in God. We are called to be the church, to celebrate God's presence, to love and serve others, to seek justice and resist evil, to proclaim Jesus, crucified and risen, our judge and our hope, in life, in death, in life beyond death. God is with us. We are not alone. Thanks be to God. Amen. You may be seated. As we come to a time of prayer, I invite you to lift up both your silent and your spoken prayers. If you would like to share them with the pastoral team to pray throughout the week, please follow the link under Contact Us on the website, or if you would like to write down your prayer request and give it to one of the pastors on your way out, we would be delighted to pray for you this week. We extend our sympathy to the family of Beth Creighton, who died Saturday, October the 3rd. Among her survivors are West End members Walton Hall. The peace of Christ be with you. Let us pray. Dear Lord of the feast, we come to you this day hungry for what only you can provide and ready to celebrate your abundance. You give to us so graciously. For waking up each morning to your mercies, which are new every day, we give you praise. You call us to the table. Yes, even us. Who are we that you would invite us to be with you? We stand in awe. While we come with joy at your invitation, we also come with great pain. We lift up to you those who are sick and for those who are grieving the loss of loved ones. We pray for a vaccine and a cure for COVID-19. Give doctors and scientists wisdom and innovation. Be with those fleeing persecution and danger. We pray for wars to cease and your peace to reign. We ask for abundance for our neighbors who have little and shelter for those without homes. We ask your protection for those who are incarcerated and those on death row. We pray for justice to reign, and we pray your mercy when it does not. Keep our eyes open for ways we cause harm and help us to overcome. Be with us, embolden us to take the next steps toward the world you would help us create. Help us to embody your love when the world is unloving. Remind us that we are the hands and feet in the world called to do your work. Calm our anxious hearts. Help us to speak truth even when our voice shakes. May we always seek first your kingdom in all that we do and say. We pray that you heal the deep divisions in our country and that you would raise up leaders who would seek your will. Help us all to turn towards you as we seek to embody the prayer your Son taught us, saying, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. We invite you now to give your tithes and offerings so our congregation can continue the vital ministries in our community and throughout the world. You can give through our website, you can text to give, you can also mail in a check or drop off a check here. We realize that many are suffering economically right now, but we encourage you to give as you are able. We know that God can multiply those gifts for God's glory and for the benefit of God's kingdom. So let us give with joy this morning.
As we go from this place, I'll leave you with a church sign I saw one time. Come as you are, but don't expect to stay that way. As we continue on the journey, growing in love with God and neighbor, may we know that we belong at the feast, and that through Christ we will have peace and strength and joy. Amen.